Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so incredibly much for joining me today. So today's episode is all on anger management. Now, I know I did an episode earlier about mum rage, what is it? But this one, I guess I just wanted to go through a few more strategies and perhaps look into anger as an energy system, as an emotion, as a reaction, and to sort of go through it at a more general level, not just, you know, mum rage, as we call it. So according to Charles Spielberger, who's a PhD psychologist, anger is an emotional state that varies in intensity from mild irritation to intense fury and rage. It exerts physiological and biological changes when you get angry. So essentially what happens within your body, your heart rate, your blood pressure can go up, energy hormones level changes, so adrenaline, noradrenaline, this fight, flight, these stress hormones are increasing. Anger can be from an external or an exogenous source. So think like traffic or towards a particular person, whether it's outside or at work or within your own home. Anger can also come from an internal or an endogenous source. So say, for instance, you're festering over a personal concern or problem, or you're rehashing a particular trauma or event. And so it can either be external or internal, but regardless, when you feel anger, it's happening within your body. It's exerting physiological, biological changes in your body, right? Now, we've got a magnet that's on our fridge that says for every minute that you are angry, you've lost 60 seconds of happiness. And when it's put like that, it's actually very hard to deny because it almost feels like a choice. I think that we absolutely have every right to feel angry, but how we respond to that situation is always our choice in terms of how we react. Now, I'll go through this in a little bit more detail. But yeah, I definitely love that magnet, and I'll try to take a picture if it fits in the frame because it's very, very lovely. And also for transparency's sake, I'm definitely going to say that anger is something that I need to work on. I often just snap what seemingly seems very quickly. But when I think about the fact that, you know, we're a working mother, we've got extracurricular activities coming out of our eyeballs, that I'm driving from one place to another between the time pressure, noise, mess, the kids are never listening. I'm constantly cleaning up after them, constantly doing that. I'm helping them with homework, making sure they've got what they need for the next day. So keeping on top of, yeah, business admin, life admin. And so sometimes it feels like an absolute pressure cooker. And so, you know, you add in the full moon, you add in PMS, which is so lucky for me that they go in at the same time. And so it's an accumulation of all of those sensory overload that gets me to the point of anger. Now, as the adult, I know that I'm the role model, and this whole do as I say, not as I do, it's actually becoming harder to live by that mindset. I actually need to practice what I preach to my children. And so it does require me to check in, be mindful, be aware of the anger. I know what my trigger points are, absolutely. And so it's, you know, very important for me to not make excuses, which I, you know, I'm not. But I can definitely see in the modern world that we get to this situation because it's like a pressure cooker, pressure cooker, pressure cooker, and we just snap. And so, you know, we've got this pressure of wanting to give our kids the best life, but I think that we have shorter patience levels. I think there's a lot more to it than that when we look at our diet and our lifestyle and the way that we live and the, you know, constant notifications. And there's lots of different reasons that I feel that it's happening more, perhaps. Now, the next question is, are some people more prone than others to have anger? So according to APA.org, some psychologists believe that people who are easily angered, they may have a low tolerance for frustration. So this can be a genetic or a physiological underpinning, as well as being sociocultural, meaning that it's actually not generally accepted in particular backgrounds to show anger, and so you don't learn how to channel it constructively. So I'll link that article in the show notes. I thought that was actually quite an interesting one. And from an Ayurvedic perspective, people with this pitta prakriti, or this, you know, the natural constitution or imbalance where there's excess fire and water or a lot of fire and water, that those heat qualities would exhibit more anger reactions. And so it enables an understanding that on a hot day, if you're eating more hot, heating, birria, energy type of foods, spices, you're participating in heating practices, that the fire quality is going to increase. And so we want to introduce cooling, cold aspects into your diet and lifestyle to bring balance to this excess fire. So I also would look into how was anger dealt with as a child. Was it swept under the rug? Were you taught how to healthily express your anger? Are you actually practicing what you saw growing up? I always find it an interesting exercise that we can change. We can learn new behaviors and new skills to actually better handle our emotions. We always are in a capacity to grow and evolve. I love that. So what are ways to handle anger? So we can do it in three ways. So one is through expressing it, two is through suppressing it, and three is through calming it. So by expressing our anger, we're doing it in a very healthy, in an assertive way. So we're explaining what our needs are, and we're not doing it in an aggressive way. Suppressing our anger. So this is when we're holding it in, and that can become quite deleterious to our body because that can lead to high blood pressure or depression by letting it fester and not being expressed. It can also come out in other ways, like you can be cynical and give snide comments, you sort of the issues there, but you're not really addressing it as such. But you can also actually redirect and channel it into something more positive. So in an acute situation, you can actually try to channel it into other ways that are a bit more healthy, I would say. So I think that being able to channel and redirect them are very positive in an acute situation, but I would always encourage you to come back to what that anger was, why it was festering and bubbling, and to not sweep it under the rug, because I think that isn't the most healthy way to deal with it. You can certainly get yourself out of that reaction way. That's great, but don't ignore what it was, the underlying reason as to why you were angry. The third one is calming. So to actually use strategies to calm your internal reactions as well as your external reactions and responses. So, you know, this physiological responses of our central nervous system being aroused, so increased heart rate, blood pressure, stress hormones. What we can do by calming ourselves in those situations is great for an acute situation. And so that is very, very good, because you don't ever want to be in a situation where you're snapping and can be a bit dangerous and volatile, to be honest. And I would imagine relationships would not necessarily sustain that level if it was constantly in that state. So being able to know how to calm actual anger symptoms, I feel, is very, very important. So what I would then ask you to do, to have a few ponderings, as I always love to do, is to really go in. So what is it that makes you tick? What are your triggers? What factors contribute to this final blow up? So, you know, just think about all the little aspects that took you to that particular place. Is there a cyclical pattern to your anger? You know, does it happen at certain times of the month? Is it related to the moon? Are you noticing any patterns? What helps you get through it? How often is it happening? Is it happening more frequently? Now, the disclaimer to that point is one. And is it affecting your relationships at home or work? And then there's a disclaimer on that point too. And the disclaimer to that is that if it is happening more frequently and if it is affecting your relationships at home or work, then it's a great idea to actually seek help, to look into it a little bit further. But those particular questions are really to just help you to look exactly into the when, into the why it's happening. And I think that's so incredibly important. So the next point is, what strategies can I use when I feel angry? So you can do this if you're at home, if you're in the car, if you're at work. And whilst anger actually is a natural outlet to your feelings, it really, really is, it's not a sustainable reaction to maintain healthy relationships and a healthy work environment. So we need strategies. And so I've written down quite a number of strategies. So number one is a glitter jar container. So I did a video on this a bit recently, but I'm not sure the full one worked properly. But our strategy at home is, when we're feeling anger, we imagine a glitter jar in a container and we're shaking the glitter jar. And of course, the glitter is going to be going everywhere. There's lots of movement. It's erratic. And then we just imagine just holding it and letting it settle and giving time and space for the glitter to come, to calm down. And it becomes slower. They slowly come down. And it's just a visual strategy, imagining the glitter becoming softer, quieter, slower. And then it's happening with your anger as well. So that's a beautiful tool that we do with our boys. It's really, really wonderful, very effective. Number two is to stop before reacting and speaking. So in the moment where you are about to yell, you're about to blow your top, just stop. In that moment, stop and take a deep breath. Walk away if you have to, go for a little walk, go to the bathroom, have a sip of water if you have to, and then you respond. Not immediately, not in this anger-fueled state. Don't respond. Pause. Stop. Don't do anything. Three, have a healthy outlet for your anger in that acute moment. So definitely having like a stress squeeze ball that you just squeeze, or if you're at home and you want to scream into a pillow if you're able to. So Ari has a towel on his golf bag that he just squeezes if he's frustrated. And so that's actually a beautiful tool for him. If you've got clenched fists, just shake them off. If you're clenching your jaw, open your jaw. If your shoulders are, you know, scrunched up, put them back. Your forehead's furrowed, put it back. Just take a moment. All of that releasing is, you're actually shifting it from your body. Shake it off. Go for a walk. So something that's healthy, that's practical for your particular life. It could be even squeezing a pillow, whatever it is for you, but finding an actual outlet for that energy. Number four is get out and get some exercise, get some fresh air. So literally in the heat of the moment, go for a brisk walk. Go for a run. Take your dog for a walk. I mean, just seeing a cute dog running and being so happy, it's hard to be angry when you can see them so incredibly happy. It's a beautiful outlet of energy. It's allowing you to clear your mind. You're literally exerting that bubbling energy that's under you. Now, when Ari gets frustrated at golf, he walks alongside the cart, because walking just is getting rid of that frustration. By the time he reaches the next hole, it's a bit slower than the cart. He's, you know, essentially cooled off and he's able to reset. And so, you know, that's just a wonderful tool to do. And getting an outlet, you're getting an upsurge of endorphins, and that can really help to settle our stress hormones. Number five is deep breathing. So you can put your hands to your heart, one hand on your heart, one on your tummy, two hands on your tummy, and just, if you can, close your eyes, deep breath in and out. And do 10 diaphragmatic breaths. Diaphragmatic breathing is my solution to everything. In through your nose, out through your mouth. You can do that with your eyes open if you're too embarrassed, but it's going to slow down the sympathetic nervous system. You're going to feel more relaxed. Slow breathing is very, very beautiful. Very deep, deep breathing. Number six is to repeat a mantra or a calming word. So your mind is now going to focus away from the problem at hand or the irritation or the anger, and you're focusing on a mantra. So Om, Ram, whatever it is, or it could be a relaxing word like relax. You've got this. Let it go. Pull yourself together. Whatever it is, or stop. Just find a word and you know, use that as your anchor and bring your mind back to it every single time. Number seven is
to have this imagery visualization. So if you're imagining there's so much heat, my go-to would be visualizing something cold, something water-filled, something that might be ice-filled. So imagine sitting on the ocean or the snow or on top of a mountain. And so visualization is so powerful because your body doesn't know, is it real? Is it imaginary? And so it's calming your mind. You're taking your attention somewhere else. You're not in wherever room you're in your mind's eye. You're somewhere else. And if it's cool and feels like it's filled with air and space, it may well feel like you're feeling cool as well. So that's definitely another strategy. Put on some music. I love like lounge music. I love flute music, just very calm, meditative, spa-like music. And just when I'm driving as well, I often put it on because it makes me feel calm and serene. And I often do that with my seat warmers when I'm driving, so it feels like I'm getting a hug, or I've got a hot water bottle, which I love. But music has a real capacity to change energy. You could put, you know, high energy music and dance and let out your frustration that way. But again, it just depends on where you are and what your situation is. When I'm driving, I'm not going to, with my kids, blare, you know, music up full blast. So calming music to me is what, you know, does it for me. Number 9, so slow yoga asanas. So allowing the body and mind connection to flow together. So it allows our breath to come back into our body while the energy moves through our limbs. And flow is the opposite of tension and constriction. And so it allows the fire energy to be extinguished, flow through our body in a very healthy and prana-rich way. Number 10, so reframing our thoughts. Now, if I think of my anger, it normally comes from fear. If I'm going to be honest, I normally get angry if someone's fallen because I'm scared that they've broken their teeth or got really injured. So my reflection is my anger comes from fear, a fear of not making it on time, a fear. It's usually fear. It could also come from catastrophic thinking. And so we want to go into this green team. So versus these, you know, very catastrophic type of thinking, which are red team thoughts, we want to go into green, rational, kind of thoughts. So we're looking into our mindset. So reframing our thoughts, the all or nothing mindset is quite important there. The controlling aspect there, letting that control go. Comparison. So we can have a lot of anger when we're comparing and feel like we're not matching up to the standards or values that we would like to or think we should. Catastrophic thinking, oh, you know, words like never and always, this always happens to me. Whatever sentence, fill in the blank for you. But yeah, just reframing your thoughts. If you're noticing they're very catastrophic in thinking, oh, I'm always running late, I'm never going to make it on time. I mean, let's just reframe that sentence. The power of our vocabulary, the power of our internal narrative is so powerful that we really want to be able to steer it into the right direction and the right channel to make it conducive so that we can thrive. It's very easy to spiral out of control and go on the tangent of negatives and shoulds and coulds and woulds and all of those, but it's exhausting and time consuming. So, you know, really looking into your thought process. And the one that I mentioned last week, that will it matter in 5 minutes? Will it matter in 5 days? Will it matter in 5 weeks? Will it matter in 5 years' time? And if the answer is no to any or all of those, then don't sweat it, because if it's not going to matter, then it shouldn't matter now. In fact, I promise you probably won't even remember. There are times for me that I just think were so big at the time and I can't even remember them. There are times when, you know, the boys will say, oh, do you remember when this happened? And honestly, I don't. And it was such a big deal back then. But I genuinely cannot remember it. So I think that's a very good mindset as well to go by. Number 11, check if you're hungry. 99.9999% of the time in our household, that's the first thing we need to check for, because if any of us are hungry, then we are hangry. And that's, you know, usually the biggest factor for us, or if it's particularly hot, then that's another trigger point. We all have pitta within us, all four of us. And so hangry is very, very, yeah, it's a very big one. It's a very Simple one, it seems, but one that's very important. Number 12 is once you have calmed yourself down, so once you've used some of those strategies, then you need to express your anger, and you need to express your anger with I statements. So, you know, versus blame or criticism, right? So what that means is, oh, I feel frustrated that there's mess that I have to clean versus you always leave mess everywhere. Now, if I say that to anyone in my family, they're immediately going to come on the defense and be like, well, you know, whatever it is, there's going to be some hustle. But if I'm saying I feel frustrated that there's mess that I have to clean, I'm taking responsibility for how I feel and how that situation is making me feel. And then we can have a beautiful conversation where it's calm, I'm not blaming anyone, and we can have a healthy, crystal clear communication. I think that's imperative. Once we've actually expressed our emotions and why we're feeling angry in a very healthy I statement way, then number 13 is to run through solutions. Now, I actually don't like it when if I'm venting to my husband in particular and he goes straight to solution mode, because I actually enjoy and I need my feelings to have been acknowledged, to be validated. I want to know that I've been heard. But once that's happened, I feel like I've been heard, then as a collective, we can run through solutions. And I think that that's a very efficient use of time. There's no point whinging or being angry about a situation and not allowing any change to take place. Number 14 is to use humor to change the energy. So having a laugh absolutely can change the energy. And we often giggle when we've had an anger outburst and we just basically laugh about it. I mean, with a household of boys, it doesn't take long to find something to giggle about. I actually really, really love that. And my boys are actually very forgiving. Kai's probably more like me and holds on to things a bit longer. But as a general rule, humor is a beautiful one because it can just really shift the energy, can lighten the mood, just, you know, have a laugh. I think that that's a really excellent, helpful tool. Number 15 is timing is everything. So don't bring issues when you're tired or late at night or the kids are screaming. Don't bring up stressful topics like money and mess and children's behavior if you're tired and hungry and you just walk through the door. Like it's a recipe for disaster. So timing is everything. Pick a time that feels spacious. You can hash things out in a calm, cool, beautiful, centered way. I think that's really important. Number 16 is ensure that you're sleeping well. Sleep hygiene techniques, lean into them, sleep well. When you're getting good quality and duration of sleep, you're going to feel better. You're better able to regulate your emotions. You're better able to, you know, equip yourself for the day and to handle whatever comes your way. Now, number 17, the impact of food from an Ayurvedic perspective. So the energy or the virya of food does have an impact on our body. And I've actually mentioned this in this is now the third episode that I'm saying the same thing, where foods that are heating, they're going to increase the fire quality. So that's going to increase the anger and the fire within us. So for example, chili, cayenne pepper, garam masala, right? Even when you say them, feel them intuitively, they just feel hot and heating. If you compare this to, say, cucumber that's very cooling, coriander, fennel, the energy of all of them is cooling. And so you want to be mindful of what you're eating. So say on a very hot day, you're eating heating foods, there's going to be more anger. So just being aware of the impact of that. And foods and substances can affect the gunas of the mind. So things that are rajasic, they are going to increase the erraticness, the agitation within the mind. And so that can definitely lead to more anger outbursts. So garlic and onion is considered to be rajasic. Caffeine and alcohol are considered to be rajasic. And so that can make the mind more agitated, more easily able to snap. And so I think that's where we are eating more mindfully as to how we're feeling and responding and reacting. And we want to increase our sattva, our sattvic nature with our food and spices and lifestyle that we're utilizing. So we want to live in just a little bit more of a mindful way versus a convenient way, if that makes sense. 18, the impact of alcohol and caffeine, as we've spoken just now they're considered rajasic. They also are stimulant and they're affecting biochemistry. So really look into the impact of those two substances. Number 19 is meditation, beautiful, mindful tool that helps to increase our sattva. We can better respond in a calm, serene way, which is absolutely amazing. And also by doing it as a regular, consistent practice, then we actually are better able to handle things on a day-to-day basis. Number 20 is a waterfall meditation. So this waterfall whilst you're in the shower, and I recorded the meditation in the book that I wrote, so the audio book on Audible. And so it's just imagining this white cleansing light while you're in the shower, and it's a very energetically cleansing practice. You're following a guided meditation that can actually help in an anger situation. So you're feeling like an acute angry situation, hop in a coolish shower and let it go. 21 is mandala coloring in. So it's a very mindful practice. You can dedicate your energy. You're allowing your mind to do a really, beautiful creative thing. And it's bringing calm. It's bringing flow and slowness into your whole energy field. Number 22 is to journal your anger as an outlet. So instead of hashing it out to someone, hash it out on a piece of paper. And it's a very healthy way to let it out from your system. And you can get to the bottom of the root cause, which, you know, if you're a writer, you prefer to have that writing hand to pen connection. And that's a really, really good thing to do. 23 is self-care. So anger can often be a meaning or a message that your cup is not full, right? So your needs aren't being met. And so really your body's crying out and your mind is crying out that you need to look after your own needs. And so partake in whatever self-care strategies as you need. It's not a luxury. You're so deserving to do it. Now, another point is to challenge your thoughts. Now, therapists often begin by focusing on a client's negative thoughts or cognition distortions. That's by Dyer 2020. And the questions that they've written here are to consider, well, what advice would you give to a friend? So in a particular situation, just to reframe your thoughts. So what advice would you give to a friend? What supporting evidence do you have? Is this a helpful thought? And what will you think in a week, month, or year? So that's similar to the other point I was saying before. But it's really enabling you to, like, if you were about to react in a certain way over a situation, what advice would you give to your friend? I think that that's a really helpful thing because we often give amazing advice to other people that we don't always do ourselves, right? Supporting evidence is to really see, is this thought rational or is this thought completely catastrophic and not a rational thought at all? And is this thought helpful? I think that's a very reflective way to see, is this thought helpful? Now, the next point really is when to seek help. So if anger is affecting your relationship, your quality of life, it's becoming more frequent, then definitely it's worth investigating it further. And the first one, as usual, is to see your GP. So they can refer you to exactly where you need to go. So that could be to a psychologist, to a counselor, to do CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy, conflict resolution, couples counseling, whatever it is that you need. There could be support groups, online support groups that they can refer you to, certain training programs, courses, anything like that, right? But a GP is going to be the first person that I would recommend that you go to. And I think that it's very important that our body is always telling us something. It could be telling us that there's an underlying health condition of anxiety or depression. You know, we could be reacting in anger when that's the only way that we can outlet how we're feeling, but there could be an underlying reason. It could be that we just need some stress management techniques, this work-life balance reflection, looking into what areas are working and what isn't, and really looking into your diet and lifestyle. I definitely believe there's always a cause and effect relationship, and it's important to look into the why. So I'm going to put a number of support links on the show notes. So there's Headspace with the links as to the websites, SANE Australia, Australian Psychological Society, Lifeline, Kids Helpline, Men's Line. But basically what I would say is that you're not alone. And to look into and to look into all that's happening. And so not just to see anger as an isolated symptom, but to really hone in and check out how you're feeling and really know that there is help at hand. There are strategies we can utilize and we don't have to be angry. The last point I would mention, though, is to really look into hormone management as well. There's Nat Kikrin Gudis. I don't know if I've said her name properly, but she's a female practitioner. I think she's based in Melbourne. I do follow her online. And she's an expert in women's hormones and has lots of masterclasses and things like that. And so that would be something that if you're finding it's a cyclical thing and there's certain mood, anger, things there that are hormone related, I would definitely check her out and see what sort of resources she has available. And also to chat to your GP into looking into your hormone levels. Perhaps is something happening with your hormone levels? Is it the pill? Perhaps is it your IUD? Is it perimenopause, menopause? Is it something that we can also help to manage? Because I don't think that we need to live in an angry, irritable way. It's not the best thriving way to live. And I do believe that we're all entitled to feeling our best and in terms of wellness and our well-being. So I really hope you've had an enjoyable time and taken away some pearls here. And the pearl to practice would really be to look into those questions I asked earlier and to really check into what your triggers are and to reflect and introspect and work out what it is for you and to delve a little bit deeper and go forth. Go forth with living with beautiful strategies that you can tap into anytime. And I hope you've resonated with any or all of those. So thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous week.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. Share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.